Good evening. It's good to see everybody, and I want to extend a welcome out to everyone tonight. Already thankful for the words of encouragement that several have given me before services tonight, and it's my goal that the things that I present to all of you from God's Word will be encouraging to you. Hopefully something that we could use, every one of us, and a topic that can apply to each one of us, no matter what our age is. I'm going to talk about plans tonight. All of us, I think, make plans, some more than others. Some put more thought into their daily plans or their yearly or future plans than others. But we all make plans, so we're familiar with that concept. We're going to talk about the planning and the importance of planning, and from a biblical perspective especially, first. And then we're going to finish the lesson with talking about what we are supposed to do, or what can we do, or how should we handle ourselves when our plans that we've made don't work out. Because so often that is the case. So go with me, if you will. Pick up your Bibles. We'll be looking at some verses along the way. And I hope, again, the study can be something you take with you as you leave tonight. First of all, does the Bible teach that planning is important? I think that's a question we have to ask. Because if the Bible doesn't, you know, says that it's not important, then I might as well just sit down right now or switch topics. But I'll show you where I believe the Bible does, so that if, you know, by doing this, if we're more of a fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants personality, and maybe we will gather some insight from the Word of God and see where our life might benefit, or we might benefit others from a better use of planning in our life. Let's look at Proverbs. We'll look at a couple scriptures there first. Starting in Proverbs chapter 14, there's some clear and practical examples, I think, from Proverbs regarding our planning in life. Proverbs 14, and I'll read verse 15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. So a prudent man, or a sensible man, some versions might say, we're going to think what we're going to think about what we're getting ready to do, or where we're going to go, or what we're going to do when we get there, or maybe what we're going to say, and put that preparation and thought into place before we enter this. And that's what a prudent man will do. Proverbs 16, verse 9. We have to remember that a man's heart deviseth his way. And that shows that we're planning, right? It might just be our opinion, something that we think is best, but it is a planning. It's something we're devising. But the Lord directs His steps. So even though we might have a plan, we have to remember that God has an overall plan. And if we're not following what the Word of God says and molding our life after that, then that's when we'll need to change plans. And we'll talk about that in a few moments. A verse that sounds similar to that, Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9, to summarize, would say, you know, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and His ways higher than our ways. So, again, just reiterates that when our plans cross what God has told us, we need to realize what the priority is and follow His ways. Turn to Proverbs 31, if you will, as we think about what is called the virtuous woman. We won't read that whole passage, but if you look at Proverbs 31, verse 13, we see a few things that show that she is a person of planning, and she is commended here in the Scriptures for the actions and the mindset and the planning that she has. In verse 13, it says, "She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands." So if you're going to seek something, everyone has something or a goal in mind that they are seeking, right? You're not seeking nothingness. That doesn't happen. So if you're seeking something, you've already thought about it, planned for something, you're looking for something specific, and you're setting your mind towards that. And she does that as she seeks certain products, you know, to make things and to help her family, as we can find as we read the whole passage. Also in verse 16, as we see, she considers a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hand. She plants a vineyard. So as you're, you know, looking at properties, looking at what is suitable for what your goal, your end goal of planting a vineyard, you know, you're looking for certain things and you've got that plan set and you're trying to meet this criteria. And my goal is to find, you know, a certain elevation of ground and a certain type of soil that produces the fruit that I need. It needs to be maybe not in an overgrown state because I don't have the ability to clean it up first, or you know, all these things that come into mind. And that's before you even get the field. That's before you start your search. And so you have that plan already in your mind. But we also think in another Old Testament example, we look at Nehemiah. And Nehemiah, if you remember, was a cupbearer to the king. He became, though, an organizer of the people and a leader through his planning in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. He didn't just do that accidentally. He didn't just fly by the seat of his pants, rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And we won't take the time to read that entire account. But if I can summarize and maybe jog some of your memories, when he set off to rebuild, you know, take on this task of rebuilding the temple, first of all, he knew where his funding was coming from. He lined all that up ahead of time because the king told him, you know, the timbers and the things that he had, Nehemiah, it's yours. You just tell them what you need and they're at your disposal. Okay, that's good, because you got to have your, you know, your funds and your materials before you start any kind of a work. So he planned that out. He also went to Jerusalem, and before he started any work, he did a lot of planning. He assessed the people. He wanted to find out what their mindset was, what their goals were, what their plans might ultimately be. Because if he's using these people to help rebuild the wall, and they don't really care if the wall is built or not, then he would be wasting his time to try and organize these people. So he's planning for all of that and assessing the situation. It also, the scriptures talk about him surveying the area, and he goes out and takes quite a bit of time to go around to different parts of the city perimeter and picking out where, you know, this section will be, and perhaps maybe we should start here and we could do this here and the gate here, and just a lot of planning and preparation. And you think about, you know, our lives, any task, whether it's at work or school or a project at home or wherever. When we don't plan and we just start in on a project and then we get partway through and we realize, I should have thought of that, or I should have slowed down and I should have thought about what the end goal was supposed to look like, and maybe I would have planned better on how to get there. But Nehemiah sets a very good example to us. He didn't just go to Jerusalem and start lifting up and stacking rocks, did he? It was far from that. He had a plan. And then he worked his plan. I heard that a lot growing up. You know, you make your plan and you work your plan. It often doesn't work if we do that backwards. Maybe an example that would show to those of you in the audience who aren't much of a planner that, in fact, you really do plan more than you think, or that the planning process maybe even is part of our lives in every way. We just may not consider it or see it that way. How many of you that leave on vacation know how many days you're going to be gone before you leave? And I know plans can change, and we'll talk about that again. But do you make sure you have enough money for gas, and you know your destination and how many miles it is before you start, and that you're going to have enough money left for food and enough money to get home after you've gotten there? That's vital. Do you know what kind of weather you might be going into so that you know how to pack and prepare and plan for your suitcase? Do you take a map with you? In this day and age, we have to plan out, you know, taking our cell phone charger, right? Or we'll be stuck for sure. So all of these things, you know, we realize the importance of planning and how foolish one would be if they did not consider these things before this endeavor. Same thing with the grocery. You know, you go and you start with the frozen stuff. You get your ice cream and then you get your eggs and your milk. And then you go get, you know, your bread and your, you know, that's not at all what we do, is it? Or if you do, you have a milkshake by the time you get to your trunk. So we plan in these everyday activities all the time. And I hope it's our goal to see why that's important. If anything, because we don't want to deal with the mess we'll have when we don't plan. And God has taught that to us some in the scriptures through various examples, and we would be wise to take heed to that. But, you know, ultimately, God has had and still has a plan from before time existed, right? And the more that we study the Old Testament scriptures and the way that God provided for his people, rebuked his people and corrected them, and, you know, had judges, and then they wanted kings, and, you know, we just go on down the line until we get to the New Testament. The more we see all the detail of the Old Testament, we see that from the beginning, God had a plan for what we call the New Testament, and today, of sending his Son down from heaven to live as a man, a perfect life, to ultimately die so that we would have forgiveness of sins and then have a hope of heaven when this life is over. And that wasn't something that was thought up after the Old Testament didn't pan out. And if that's in your thoughts, then I'd be happy to study with you after some time about that and to get a more depth understanding of the Old Testament. If we don't make a plan, I found that typically your whatever you're doing isn't going to get accomplished. It's not going to work out. But even when we do make a plan, as hard as we try, sometimes it still doesn't work out, right? And how do we deal with that? How do we handle a change in our plans? Well, we'll look at some examples again from the scriptures, as that's, you know, that's the whole point in guiding how we then live our daily life. And then we'll make maybe some personal applications of some different scenarios at the end that maybe would hit home to us, and hopefully every one of us. I've tried to get a broad range of items that would fit every age group. So let's turn back to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to look at Abram for a few minutes. Genesis chapter 12. We'll read the first four verses. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." Abram was living in this city of Ur. And I don't know how many of you have maps. You might want to turn, if you got a map in your Bible, I'm going to go through some of these cities that he goes to. But God comes to him and he says, get out of this land that you live in and go sojourn. You know, you won't have a permanent place, but you will sojourn through a place that I'll tell you later. You know, he doesn't even tell him that day where he's going or where he will end up or what he is going to do. Well, Abram has grown up here. He has family here. His ancestors came from here. He has a wife. He has servants. He has cattle. And it's home. It's home. And God tells him to pack up and leave. And Abram does it. Abram does it. We know that because as we see in verse 4, "So Abram departed." It's pretty simple. Three words. He gets up, he does what God tells him, and he leaves. "He went there from Ur up to Haran, He went down to Damascus. As he gets into the land of Canaan, and there's several cities here, he goes to Shechem. He goes to Bethel. There's a famine in Bethel, so he ends up going to Egypt. The king kicks him out of Egypt, so he goes back to Bethel. He goes to Hebron, to Dan, to Hobah, Salem, then to Hebron. He goes to Gerar, to Beersheba. He goes to Moriah, where he goes up on the mountain there, and that's where he is also told by God to go and offer his son as a sacrifice, this promised son that he was promised. That's another change of plans, right? He goes up on the mountain, and we have that situation. He comes back down from the mountain, again showing his faith in God and sparing his son. He goes back to Beersheba, and then he ends up in Hebron, where he buries his wife. This was a long journey. And we can say, at the least, Abram's plans from when he lived in Ur were shaken up. And he went through a life-altering journey, but proved faithful in that. And so I look at that, and I see, how can I emulate that? What attributes do I need from Abram to put into my life? Well, when our plans change, I need to trust and obey God, no matter what. Because my plans may not be what God wants. Now, I know this is a little different because God spoke to Abram directly and told him to get up and leave. But, you know, it's not that far off, because God speaks to us directly through His Word. He has told us so many things, and this precious Word that we have from Him is filled with things saying, Nathan, do this. Nathan, don't do that. And when I read these things and I realize my life plans are not fitting what I just read here in the Holy Scriptures, what am I going to do? Well, I hope that I'm going to be like Abram, and I'm going to obey. There's no indication of a questioning. There is a right focus that I'm going to do whatever God tells me to do, and I'm not going to let the things of this world or my ideas get in the way. So when you find yourself in a change of plans, may you as well have this obedience to God, knowing that that is what you want to do first. You may be uprooted too in your family. Because of a job, you might have to leave. You might be in the military and have to leave your home. You might be a preacher who, you know, a lot of times preaches multiple places. You might be a farmer that has a drought one year and a flood the next year and goes 2 years without income and has to sell off and go do something else. Your plans have changed. And many other instances we could think of, but if you choose to serve God first as your priority in life, then dealing with these change of plans is a whole lot easier. Let's look at another example in 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'd like to look at Hannah and gain another insight as to how we should conduct ourselves in the change of plans by looking at Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. You know, I think it'd be fair to say that Hannah, like most young girls growing up, want nothing more than to grow up and be married to a husband and have kids, right? Most girls are like that. Hannah grew up thinking that she would have children, but she ended up being barren. And it's even worse, I think, when you think of the culture of that day, when, you know, what were women for? That was very important, to find a woman to bear you children and to further your family. Of course, back then there was many who had multiple wives, and Elkanah, which was Hannah's wife, also had another wife named Peninnah, and Peninnah had lots of children, and you know she let Hannah know that, and she would. Humiliate her. She would make fun of her. She would provoke her year after year before they went up to worship. And you put yourself in the situation where this is your goal in life, and now, to maybe no fault of your own, you know, you can't do what you wanted to do. And now you've got somebody belittling you because you are unable to do so. You might feel like a letdown. You might feel worthless. And you know, there's probably friends and family that each one of us know that perhaps we're in the situation where they were unable to have children. And how much it stings, you know, every time somebody says, "So, when are you guys having kids?" You know, and inside, you know the truth. Or, "I bet your parents would sure like some grandkids." You know, we throw things like that around. And that hurts, and it stings. And you would love to have kids, and you can't. But even more so, I think Hannah, it says she was in bitterness of soul. And what did she do? Let's read verse 10. She was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. At least she remembered to pray, right? How often do we remember? Or do we let people's comments that they don't mean any harm, usually, but without thought, you know, just assume things and say things to us, and it hurts. Do we get stewed up over that, and do we shut down, and do we just crawl in a shell and give up? Or do we continue to pray? Maybe you pray that you can still have children. That's not out of the question. But you also might need to pray for patience, for strength in dealing with some of these troubles that you're going through. And Hannah did that. Of course, that sounds easy. You know, everyone knows to pray, Nathan. You know, we all pray. We pray every day, several times a day. But sometimes, if we admit, when we're making plans and our plans change and the first thing we maybe do is want to quit or get upset, praying isn't the first thing. Or trusting and obeying in God and making sure we're standing right in His sight in the big picture, that maybe isn't first in our mind. So may these things be part of us. I'd also like to look at Mary, if you'll turn to the New Testament in Luke chapter 1. Mary, the mother of Jesus, she had some plans. I would say again, you know, she was planning to get married and I assume have kids. In fact, she had what we would call it, you know, a fiancé, maybe. That would be the best example in our culture. And she wanted to get married, have kids in that order, right? Until the angel of the Lord comes to her and says, "Soon you will be pregnant, and you will be pregnant with the Son of the Highest, and you shall call His name Jesus." That's a change of plans. I got a lot of explaining to do if I'm Mary, right? How come you're pregnant? You know, first of all, who did this? Maybe she would be treated as an outcast, you know. But yet she has a very important job. That might even be some pressure on her. You know, really, this angel of the Lord has come and just told me this news, which is kind of good news. But at the same time, my plans have changed, and I've got some adjustments to make. And what am I going to do? Let's read verses 35 through 38 of Luke chapter 1. And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Did Mary give up? Did Mary hide in a cave because she didn't want to deal with this? Did Mary run away? No, Mary accepted it. She accepted what God had told her. Just as we should do as we read the Word of God and find that perhaps our plans need to change. She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." So as you have said it, that's okay. I accept it. I take it. I'm willing. Let's go. Do we get down at times? Do we maybe have a pity party for ourselves? Do we end up worrying about what's going to happen? Do we get angry at other people because maybe they don't have to go through what we have to go through? Or do we accept it like Mary? Do we wait on the Lord and realize that it's in His time that things will happen? And it is according to God's plans. We have to just keep doing our job as a Christian. And also when you find yourself in these situations, keeping your focus on God, but also, as our brother Piner mentions, you know, frequently from the pulpit, when we're down like that or we go through such a traumatic change of plans in our lives and we seek out someone else to help, doesn't that, if you've ever done that yourself, doesn't that really help you out a lot? Doesn't that kind of take your mind off and refocus and keep your focus on serving God? Because no matter how difficult our life becomes, we need to plan ahead of time. Notice I said plan ahead of time that if this happens to me, this is what I'm going to do. And I may not know exactly all the ins and outs of how I'm going to deal with whatever the situation is, but I know I'm not going to lose my faith in God. I know I'm going to keep doing what I'm called to do as a Christian. And then everything else I will take in His time. You know, but furthermore, why do we always think that a change of plans has to be bad? You know, well, I think the answer to that is because whatever we plan to do is right. Right? In our mind, we're the one that's right. We've got it figured out. But you know, Mary's cousin Elizabeth that we mentioned here in verse 36, she wanted children too. But she couldn't. She ended up that she was barren and unable to have kids. Well, apparently she accepted it. We're not told a lot of detail from the scriptures. But now she is later in life and past the age to where we would consider she's unable to have children anymore anyway, let alone being barren. So her plan A of having a house full of kids has now changed to plan B. I can't have kids. So what am I going to do? I'll still stay focused on God. I'll find other ways to serve Him and to help others and to go on with my life. And now the angel of the Lord says, "You will have a child." Back to plan A with a few changes a little later in life. And we know that ultimately she gives birth to who we call John the Baptist. And we see that not all plans have to be problematic. But you know, our problems can multiply based on things that we do or don't do. And that's our that can be our fault. And so let's watch out for that. I think just a few things I wrote down that our problems multiply when we, first of all, fail to plan. So let's be of a planning mindset. Our plans also multiply when we don't reset or refocus after some sort of a hiccup that changes the plans that we made. So again, we let the plans, now the change of plans, dictate us, and we take these problems, we don't deal with it in the right way, and we lose our focus on God. And again, number three, our problems multiply when we don't center our life on living for God or waiting for God for His answers and what we would like happen. We must deal with our problems, though, and not run away or give up. And I don't know how many of you have ever experienced problems through your plans changing and you just try to put it off or procrastinate fixing it, or you don't make the phone call you need to, or you don't go address the situation head on, and it gets harder and harder, right? You're running away and putting off this problem. We see that from Jonah, as he was told to go and preach to Nineveh, and he ran away. And we know the story of Jonah very well. And we know that he had to learn the hard way before he started changing his plans back to what God wanted him to do. We also know that Judas, you think Judas ever thought, when he was first called to be an apostle to Christ, that he would end up betraying Christ and handing him over basically to be crucified? I wouldn't think so. Well, how often does something happen to us in life that we think was never in our wildest dreams part of the plan? How do we take it? Do we give up? Do we run away? Do we have so much sorrow and burdened down and not looking focused towards the answer to get back on track that we end up killing ourselves as Judas did? I know there's problems that you and I have in this life that can get us to that same level that Judas was. But we can't. We can't let ourselves get that far. So, if anything, start now and be determined that no matter how hard things get, you're going to ask for help, you're going to surround yourself with people that can help, and you will not give up on serving God. And we think of Achan back in Joshua chapter 7. If anything, Achan teaches us that when God makes a plan for us, that's something that we need to follow. Now, we and our family may not be struck dead today in this day and age like Achan was in Joshua, but we will be punished. And if not in this life, if we're not serving God correctly, or we're not molding our plans to what the Bible instructs us, we will be held accountable for each of those sins on the day of judgment. And then our punishment will come. Ever so much as bad and worse as just being struck dead. There will be an eternal death of pain and anguish and the fire that is never quenched. So, what are you and I to do? What are we going to do? And are we going to realize we need to plan more in our life if, first of all, we're not of the planning mind? Because, you know, we plan to feed our kids 3 times a day, right? That's pretty important for them. Do you have anywhere in your day planned to feed your kids spiritually? Do we realize, perhaps, that our lack of planning, you know, it doesn't just stop with us and we can deal with that later, so it's okay? No, sometimes our lack of planning affects negatively the people around us. I got to thinking, we have at least one or two deacons before every service that go around in the back of the building and make sure that everyone who is up here signed up to do their public service for each service is here and prepared and ready to go. And how often, many times, those services need to go to Plan B. And most of the time, it's not just because you're sick. I mean, there's reasons why you're not here, or we're not here, but it's because of a lack of planning on our part, or our lack of planning and care even maybe to pick up the schedule. And so then these men are scrambling around, unfortunately, trying to find replacements last minute and sometimes missing most of the announcements up here at the start of service because they're in the back. And then when they finally get sat down with their family, they can start to focus their mind on the worship that we're supposed to be doing. And all of that is harder. You know, they have to deal with that and get their mind focused. That's their responsibility. But how much easier maybe we could make it on them if we would take care of ourselves and the plans that have already been made. I'd like to thank Brother Dennis. He works every month getting the schedule for all of the men ready, and usually at least 2 services before the next month, so that if we're sick or if, you know, like I have occasionally forgot to get one the first time they're out there, I've got another chance to get it and still be prepared for that next month. But so many times we're still going to Plan B, and that's unfortunate. You know, there's folks that lead singing or lead prayers or whatever, and you can ask any of them, you know, can you do it last minute? And they'll say, yeah, I can do that. But if they could have some time to prepare and think maybe some more specific things they could include in their prayers, or get the song service to match up with the sermon, or to make sure they really know all the ins and outs of the songs instead of just flipping through, or maybe have time to get numbers up so that especially visitors with us know what's going on. Then they would say, sure, yes, I would love that extra time. And so if we are, especially a man here that doesn't plan each month for that, may we be encouraged to do that, realizing that that negatively affects some others in their worship to God. We also need to be reminded that Proverbs 14, verse 15, as we mentioned at the start, a prudent man considers his steps. So if you're not of a planning mindset, may you be encouraged to do so. But now, what are we going to do when our plans change? In summary, you know, when you have a spouse in the military and they're wounded in war, are you still going to love them in sickness and in health? Or perhaps it's your child, you know, your 18-year-old child who comes home with some limbs missing and mentally handicapped and confined to a wheelchair or his bed for the rest of his life. And this child you raised to adulthood is now your child again. What will you do when those plans change? What will you do when your retirement money is gone? Whether because you squandered it all from lack of planning and stewardship of your finances, or perhaps, you know, a security identity theft type thing that's so common now, and someone just drains your retirement account and you can't get it back or all of it back. How are you going to handle that? Are any of these things going to be enough to shake you to the point to where you lose focus on God? Are they going to upset your plans so much that you forget to pray to God? Or are you going to accept it and deal with it, keeping your focus on God? How about the death of a spouse or any loved one for that matter? Because you know, that could be us tomorrow. Not somebody else. Any of these things can be us. Think now. That's the goal here. Think now how we are going to prepare for that when our plans change. Again, as we mentioned earlier from some examples, what about if you're unable to have children? You know, you've been planning for that. Or perhaps, you know, it could be the man or the woman that's unable, you know. Things don't work right and you're unable to get pregnant. And you know, do you have resentment for your spouse and say, I didn't sign up for this. I planned to have kids. Now we can't. It's because of you. How about when a family member falls away or chooses to live unfaithfully? That changes our plans. We've got to treat them differently. Do we stay focused on God, or do we again try to make God's plans be what our plans want, what we want our plans to be, and change His Word to fit us? What if we lose our job? You know, we know people, right, that have lost their job. Some of you have lost your job. And until you get another one, if you get another one, there's a lot of things that upset your life, your lifestyle, how you live, things you're able to do. Don't let it upset your service to God. How about when you take a job and you've been there about 6 months, and then all of a sudden your boss just starts saying, I need you on Sundays and I need you on Wednesdays. Your plans just changed. You didn't sign up for that. That's going to affect you. What are you going to do? How about, you know, for a younger one still in school, you flunk out. You flunk a grade and you got to take it again. And all your friends go on. And they graduate without you. That shakes a young person's life up. And especially in those teenage years, we all know that a lot of people can give up when things like that happen and even lose focus on God. It could be that the actions of your parents having to move or having to do, you know, something affect you as their child? How are you going to handle that? Do you have to move to a new state? Get new friends? Are you still going to serve God, realizing what really is important in your life? Or are you just going to get upset and crawl into a shell? Well, as we have many things to consider, many things that can alter our plans in this life, that it would help to consider ahead of time, we do need to ask if each one of us are planning for eternity daily. How are we planning to spend eternity? Because that fire and brimstone that we mentioned earlier that awaits us if we have sin in our life and we're unfaithful to God, that's not what I want. And if we want heaven, we better know what God wants us to do to get there. And we better adhere to His plans if we want to have that chance. God has shown us how to obtain eternal life if we will obey Him. Romans 10:17 and Mark 16 tell us that we need to hear the word, this holy word that He has left for us, and we need to believe it, because it is the truth. And as we know in Matthew chapter 10 that we need to confess Christ for who He is, our Redeemer, the Son of God. And we turn from our old man of sin, that's called repentance, and are baptized for the remission of our sins in Acts chapter 2. Then we can become a Christian. And we can have those multitude of sins washed away. And we now have this avenue of prayer so that when we sin again, we can ask for forgiveness. And we can be clean and spotless all over again. Turn finally to Revelation chapter 2. I appreciate your attention tonight, and I don't know if any of my points have hit home with any of you, or if I've stepped on anyone's toes, and I don't mean to break anyone's toes, but I hope it's enough that would cause us to change if we need to change. But as we think about eternity, Revelation 2 and verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer, and put your name in there. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. You know, we shouldn't be scared when our plans change. We shouldn't give up hope when our plans change. Because we can suffer so much in this earth and know that if we are keeping faithful to God, He will reward us in the end. We can have that crown of life if we are faithful unto death. And we don't have to worry about hell. We don't have to worry about the second death here in verse 11, because we shall not be hurt by it, because we have lived faithfully unto death. Well, if you're not a Christian, I'd invite you to do what the Bible says, to become one, if you've studied about that and understand what you need to do. Maybe you've become a Christian, but you are suffering. Maybe your world is going through a lot of change of plans, and you're having trouble dealing with that. And you need some prayers from us, and we'd be happy to do that with you. Or you just need help getting back on the narrow way. We would love to help you do that. Even tonight, before it is too late, if you'll come forward as we stand and sing.